Okay, so this week we are talking about Parashat Pinchas, and we're going to do a Machlokas between Rambam and Ramban, which comes out of the Parashat, meaning it's not really in the text, it's not in on the page, but it comes off of the page. The beginning of the Parashat deals with Pinchas's vengeance, you know, what he does to Zimri. And this obviously comes off of the end of last week's parasha. So the psukim at the end of last week's parasha, Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim, is not al bnot Moav. The Bnei Israel begin to be licentious with the bnot Moav, which is the area that they were in at the moment. But then the denouement of the whole occurrence is Midyanit. And we find out in this week's parasha that the person from Yisrael was Zimri ben Salud, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, and the girl was Cosbi bat Tzur, who was actually a princess of Midian. And so what you have is a little bit of a complication. You have Bnei Yisrael with Benot Moab, and then all of a sudden this Midianite comes into the mix. And what's striking is that in this first aliyah, it's after Pinchas is rewarded for his act. You know, basically terrorize the Midianim, go after them. Because of what they did on that day with Cosby Batsur, and how they, you know, caused you all to sin. And you know, there's a question that comes up over here. Oh, I just realized I'm not sharing screen. What did anybody say? You can't see what I'm reading.
We went to see the sunglasses gone.
There we go. Okay. There. So these are the psukim I was reading. So just to recap, basically, the Bnei Israel are sinning with Bnot Moav, and then all of a sudden the Midianite comes in and she sleeps with or she tried to do it with Zimri ben Salu, and then Hashem says attack the Midianim. And there's a question that jumps out from this whole thing.
Where is Midian in relation to Moav?
Technically speaking, Midian is in the north, if I'm not mistaken. It's more north, but they moved around. They may have been Bedouins. So what's the question that jumps out when reading this section of the Torah? Bothers the Mefarshim.
Why do we have to do this?
Let's recap. The Bnot Moav are doing znut with Bnei Israel. Then this Midianit comes in and she does it with one person, with Zimri ben Salu. And Hashem says, all right, we're going to take revenge against Midian. We're going to go and attack them at some point.
Why didn't they do it before? Why only after with Zimri? Because they were doing it before. Why especially now?
Who's doing what? What do you mean?
It was probably because it was a Bachir in Israel. I don't know why.
You mean why did Midian only now come to Bnei Israel? Is that what you mean?
No, I'm saying why did God only punish them after they'd been doing it for a while?
Oh, you're saying, why did Hashem wait until it happened with the Midianites? Well, he didn't wait until it happened with the Midianites. It was already happening before. The Magifa started before, and then Zimri ben Salu started, you know, to step it up a notch by taking the Midianites. It's a good
So
question, but
why are we after the Midianim and not the Moabites?
that's it. That's the question. Why are we told to attack Midian, and it never says anything about doing anything to Moab? So before we even look at the Ramban, does anybody have an answer to that question?
Because they were doing it in full view.
You're saying there's a we sinned with Moav differently than we sinned with Midian?
Don't know. Did
It
we?
could be. Okay. Any other answers? Martin, I'm sure you have an answer.
Yes, I mean Midian was always there. It goes back, I think, to Balak and Bilam.
Well, Balak is Moab, right? At least he's the king of
But
Moab.
Bilam was from
Midian, for sure. But
Midian.
why aren't we told to attack Moab? Why are we only taking revenge against Midian? That's the main question here. Okay, so good. So if it's, if you don't have an answer, that means it's bothering you. So the Ramban, he says as follows. He gives a few answers. He says, "V'inei tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu lihinakem mehem," to take revenge against Midian. "Aval al ha-Moavim kfar hizkir al tatzar et Moav." So answer number one, Ramban says, is because we've already been told that we're not allowed to attack Moav. We've already been told that. We were told that in Parashat Chukat, that we're not allowed to attack Moav. There's a few nations that we're not allowed to attack. There's Moav. Who else is there?
Edom.
And Ammon. Moav, Ammon, and Edom. Moav and Ammon are the daughters of Lot, and they're our cousins. And Edom is a descendant of Esav, and also our cousin. So we're not allowed to attack those nations. But Midian is not. And Ramban says this, "Ki Yisrael b'tchila ba'u al gul Adom, v'ziram aleyam v'nishmartam od, v'achreichen ba'u al gul Moav, v'amar lo al tatzar et Moav, v'achreichen amar ata uber yom at gul Moav et ar v'kirvat mul b'nei Ammon al tatzarim." Okay, so you have Edom, Ammon, and Moav. We're not allowed to attack them. V'amar, kumuzu b'ivut nachal Arnon, v'ein atati v'yadcha at Sichon, v'achar kol zeh ra'a balak kol asher asa Yisrael le'amori, shem shnei malchei Amori, Sichon v'og v'nasa enyan azak kulo, imkein azarat al tatzarat Moav mukdemet l'mitzvat tzaror et ha-midyani. In other words, we've already been commanded not to attack Moav. That is a mitzvah already that exists, and it's not going to change just because they what they did with us. That appears to be the Ramban's first answer. But then he points out the problem. Anitama alashon ha'agada shamru b'Baba Kama. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama that says, "Al tatzarat Moav, v'chiyala al da'ato shel Moshe lasod melchama shel b'rashut." Why does Hashem have to tell Moshe not to go to war against Moav? This was in Parshat Chukat. After all, what did Moav do? They didn't do anything, so why would we go to war against them? Ela nasam Hashem kadosh Moshe kal v'chomer batzmo. Amar uma midyanim shelo ba'u ela l'sayah l'Moav. Amar torat tzarot ha-midyanim hikitem otam. Moavim atzman lo kol shekein. Apparently, Moshe thought to himself, well, if the Midianim, they only came to help Moav, really it was Moav that wanted to get us. They're the ones who started up with us, and the Midianim only came in support and were allowed to attack the Midianim, then kal v'chomer we should be allowed to attack Moav. The continuous in the Gemara says, "Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu lo kasha alal datcha shtei predot yesh li lehotzi mehem ruta moavia v'nama ha'amonit." So the Gemara's conclusion is that the reason why we're not allowed to attack Moav is because two people are going to come from them, Ammon and Moav, Ruta Moavia and Naamah Ammonit. And if we attack Moav, there's a risk that we could kill the very person who's going to eventually have Rut as a descendant. So that's why we can't attack. What's Ramban's question going to be?
I thought we're not allowed to attack Moav because we're related.
That's right.
So is this an extra reason?
Very good. So that's the question. That's why he says Anitama. I don't understand this Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that first of all, this whole thing is, well, there's two problems here. Number one, it's ignoring the idea that we're not supposed to attack Moav because they're our cousins. But number two, it seems to be saying that this pasuk al tatzarat Moav comes after the events of Balak and Bilam and Midian and the Benot Moav. At least in the text of the Torah, it doesn't. So that's what it seems to be saying. Ramban says, "We've already heard that you're not allowed to attack the Moavim. This is out of order. And also, if it's because of the Kavachomer, then why mention Ammon? Na'amaha Ammonit. Now, Ammon didn't attack us. They didn't do anything to us. They're not like Moav." Ulai, he says, maybe maybe we're not supposed to ask these questions. Okay? This is a novel approach by the Ramban. Maybe you can't ask these kinds of questions on Agadita. It's an Agadah. You don't ask, why is it written this way? Why is it written that way? What about the chronological order of the Torah? Those are not questions that you ask on Agadah. Okay.
Okay,
שלא יחשוב משה שתהיה עזרתו מן מואב ובדו רשות בבני עמון, כי גם הם גמלו להם רעה, ולא קדמו אותם ללחם ומים. Okay, so he says, really, in Achinami, it's true, the Isur of attacking Moab precedes the events of the Benot Moab. However, Hashem already knew that Moshe was going to have to deal with this. Hashem already knew what was going to happen with the Benot Moab. And so as a preemptive call, Hashem told Moshe at the outset, you're never allowed to attack Moab. I know it's going to happen in the future. I know they're going to do something to you. You're not allowed to attack them. Ramban also mentions over here that Ammon is not to be attacked also because they did not greet us with water and with bread in the Midbar. Okay, fine. ומדרש אחר, בני שהמואבים עשו מבני היראה שיהיו שלולים אותם, אבל מדיינים התערבו עריב לא להם. This is a pshat answer, okay? Pshat answer is that the difference between Moab and Midian, even in this story, Bnei Israel with the Benot Moab, that wasn't Moab's fault. Moab was there. They were worried. They were self-defense. But Midian, to show up over there, that was malicious. They had no reason to be there. That's what Rashi says. That could be another difference between Moab and Midian. And then he says a third answer, al derech hapshat, Eretz Amon Moab Hashem natna levnei Lot Yerusha bavur Lot Aviyam. Okay, this is really what I said to you before. This was the original answer that I said, which is we're not allowed to attack Moab or Midian, sorry, Moab or Amon or Edom, but especially Moab and Amon. Why? Because it's their land. And we have to respect that it's their land. Hashem gave it to Lot and to his descendants. Because Lot shared it to Tzadik, Lot helped take care of Abraham. We have an interesting relationship with Moab. On the one hand, we're not allowed to attack them. We're not allowed to conquer their lands. On the other hand, they are not allowed, their men are not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. Right? We know that Ruth was allowed because she's a Moabiyah, but a Moabi is not allowed because they were mean to us. They did not welcome us in. And so Ammon and Moab are not allowed to marry into Am Yisrael. So we have a love-hate relationship.
You know the 2.5 tribes that were given land over the Jordan?
Yeah.
Was that in Moab?
It was. Excellent question, Barbara. You're wondering, how are we allowed to take that land?
Yeah.
So what's the answer?
Like we were told not.
That was originally.
Nope, that's not the answer. The answer is that it's actually over here that Sichon conquered that land. Sichon HaEmori conquered that land from Moab, and then we conquered it in turn from Sichon. If Sichon, the Ramban writes this, if Sichon had not conquered that land, we would not have been allowed to take it. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Ramban goes so far as to say that Hashgacha Pratis, that Hashem purposely had Sichon attack them and take over that land so that we could get it.
It's kind of a one remove. It's a one remove kind of thing. It's exactly. We're not taking it directly from the Moabites.
Precisely. Exactly it. Okay, so what we see from Ramban is actually there's about three answers that Ramban gives for why it is that we attack Midian but we don't attack Moab, right? We had number one over here, which was that we already had a pre-existing Isur, that we're not allowed to attack Moab. We have number two that says that, look, Moab was only doing it out of self-defense. They weren't doing it maliciously the way that Midian was. And number three is that we're not allowed to attack them or conquer their land because they're related to Lot. Okay, that's the Ramban over here. This is all this week's parasha. Now, how does the Rambam, Maimonides, come in? So the Rambam comes in a little bit roundabout. I'll put these on for a little bit. Sorry. The Rambam comes in a little bit over here in a roundabout way. This is from the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a book of mitzvot, where he lists all the mitzvot. And right before that book, he wrote another book called the Shorashim, the Roots, which is where he basically gives his explanation for what kind of mitzvot he counts and what kind of mitzvot that don't get into the Minyan HaMitzvot, into his book. And in Shoresh HaShlishi, the third Shoresh, the third principle, he says, very simple. Ein ra'ui limnot mitzvah she'ein nohagot ledorot. We're not going to count mitzvot that are not eternal. In other words, if there's a mitzvah in the Chumash that was given by God to Moshe to Bnei Israel, but it's the kind of mitzvah that only exists for a short amount of time, we won't count it in the book of mitzvot, in the book of 613 mitzvot. Simple enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now he gives us the secret to why there are 613 mitzvot. He quotes the Gemara in Makot. If anybody ever asks you, how do we know that there are 613 mitzvot? There's a number of midrashim. By far the most important and prominent Ma'amar Chazal is the Gemara at the end of Makot. It's the second to last daf. It says, this is from Rabbi Simon. Taryag mitzvot ne'emru lo l'moshe b'sinai. And they explain, how do we know? We know because, it's not here. The answer is we know because the word Torah is the gematria of how much? The word Torah, Taf Vav Resh Hey. Oh, here it is.
611.
Here it is. Mispar Torah, Vuhu Tarya, 611. Va'anochi v'lo yiyeh mipiyak v'rashmanum. And then you have two more, anochi and lo yiyeh, which we know we're told directly by God because they're in first person. Anochi Hashem alakecha shorzeticha and lo yiyeh lecha Elohim acherim al panai. And then after that, lo tisa Hashem Hashem alakecha lashav, it goes to third person. And so those two are fundamentally different from other ones. U'behem nishmu taryag mitzvot. So it's 611 plus two. Fine. That's what the Gemara in Makot says. Yirtzu b'zeh ha-siman, sh'adavar sh'tzivah lanu Moshe v'lo sh'manuhu, ki mimenu, humispar Torah v'kra'a moresha kilat Yaakov. That whole corpus of mitzvot, the 613 mitzvot, that's called moresha kilat Yaakov. U'mitzvah she'en anuheged adorot, ein alanu moresha. Therefore, any mitzvah which doesn't exist throughout the generations cannot be considered one of the 613 mitzvot. Why?
It's not a
marasha. It's not marasha because it's not a tradition, an inheritance that goes from generation to generation. Exactly. Shomnam yikare yirusha mashiyat midla dorot kamosha amar kimei shamayim al haaretz. So that's why. Okay. So that's why he says I'm not going to count any mitzvot that are not the dorot in the 613 mitzvot. Theoretically, he could have counted them, but because they can't be considered marasha or yirusha, therefore, they won't be counted. Fine. But he points out that not everybody agrees with him. For example, the Bahag did count some mitzvot that were only the Dorot. But the Rambam says, why did he count some and he didn't count others? Vanini flamize shamana elu halavin, lama lomana amro beman, ish al yoter mimenu ad boker. Why doesn't he count the fact that we were given a mitzvah not to keep the man from one day to the next? That's a mitzvah. Why did the Bahag, who's willing to count mitzvot that don't go from generation to generation, why didn't he count that mitzvah? Everybody agrees that it's a mitzvah that was given in the Midbar. We had to do it, but it wasn't generational. So why did the Bahag not count it? Va'amru yitale al tatzar et mo'av va'al titgarbam milchama. We're not allowed to attack Moab or go to war against them. Why didn't Bahag count that? Apparently the Bahag didn't count that. And guess who else didn't count it? The Rambam. All three of these mitzvot, the Rambam did not count as mitzvot. Okay, the things that Moshe was commanded to do. I'm going to take these out. We don't need these. Okay. So, in the end, the Ramban says, "V'lo yisapek baal aseichel elu kulam etzvot ne'amru lo l'moshe tzivui v'azhara, ach kulam ayu lefi sha'a ve'ina no'ga ledorot v'lchein lo yimanim." He says, obviously, the reason why you should not count these mitzvot is because they are not ledorot. Okay? So what do we get from this Rambam? No, what do we get from this Rambam? What does he believe?
That Moab was not for the road.
Yeah, that these mitzvot, these three mitzvot, not attacking Moab, Ammon, and Edom, doesn't exist anymore. Basically, if you meet a Moabite, or if we somehow determine that, Iraq is Moab, I don't think that's right, but whatever it is, we're allowed to attack and conquer it. No problem. Even if we thought they were Moabites, we'd still be allowed to do it. No?
Well, we don't know anymore, do we? Who these
That's a good
are.
Point. That's a good point. But technically speaking, it sounds like it's not knowing the Dorot. It seems like it would only exist on the way into Eretz Israel. And even after we had conquered the land, we could have potentially attacked them. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam.
Hold on. So that he's saying it's temporary because it was only when we were going in before we went into the land.
Well, he doesn't elaborate on why it was temporary, but I think it's a safe assumption that what he's saying is that it only existed on the way into the land, and it no longer existed after we conquered Eretz Israel. I think that's reasonable. It could be wrong, but it's reasonable. And one way or another, he's saying it's not counted as a mitzvah. You don't have to worry about it anymore. That's for sure.
It would be interesting to know why. I mean, the man is obvious because the man doesn't fall anymore, you know. But why should that mitzvah stop being a mitzvah just because we're in the land?
Well, presumably he means on the way into Eretz Israel, don't attack Moab. That's how he understands those psukim in Chumash.
Okay.
The Ramban has his hasagot. The Ramban at the end of the book of the Sefer Mitzvot, so he lists a number of mitzvot that he thinks the Rambam should have counted, and he mentions which mitzvot the Rambam should not have counted. So this is the very last part of the Ramban's hasagot. This is the last thing the Ramban says on the Sefer Mitzvot. He said, "Od achat ma'at hi mikama sfekot meniot shebao ba'amon u'moav v'seir." He says, another one that I think that should have been counted are the mitzvot that we're not allowed to attack Ammon and Moab and Edom. That's Seir. He says, "Ine ele shalosh meniot mefurashot b'Torah." These are explicit in the Torah. "V'lo haviyum balei chashbon mitzvot b'mispar," but nobody brought them in their Sefer Mitzvot. The Rambam didn't mention them. "V'riti l'Rav mi'ikar ha'shlishi." I saw that the Rambam writes, "Shehin mitzvah l'sha'a v'lo l'dorot." He even asked it on the Bahag. Why did the Bahag not count them? Why did the Bahag not count them? That's what the Rambam asked. Ramban says, well, I have a question. Ani tama al kulam. I don't understand why nobody is counting these mitzvot. Sherei katuv al tatzaret moav v'al titkar ba milchama ki lo eten lecha me'artzo yerusha. I underlined the word Yerusha in each place, right? What is the Ramban emphasizing? Every time you write the word Yerusha,
they were promised to the other nations. Is Yerusha Ba'ashim, so you can't, that's why you can't attack them.
Right. And what does the word Yerusha indicate?
The Dorot.
V'hadavar yadua, shelo tikra Yerusha, el hadavar hanitan ledorot. Kemo shamar ba'arteinu, she'asher asa Yisrael la'aretz Yerushato. It should be ledorot. If that's the case, that means that forever, those lands have been given to Moab, Ammon, and Edom. Ramban says, you know where I got the idea that the word Yerusha means Ledorot? From the Rambam himself. The Rambam was the one who said that. So how did the Rambam say on the one hand that all the mitzvot are Yerusha, that means that they're Ledorot. And on the other hand, he sees the psukim that talk about the land of Ammon and Moab and Edom, that they're Yerusha, and he thinks that that's temporary. V'lashon chachamim Yerusha ain lahefsek. The kach amru b'mizvachim. It says in the Gemara, Menucha zo Shilo, Menachala zo Yerushalayim. The v'hishay beit olamim. These are permanent places. V'darshu le'inyan maaser that they're permanently ra'ui for maaser. Ma'achar shu yitala b'yar tam ha'meniyam im lachemat ela ha'umot v'nei shenitan lahem ha'aretz Yerusha. Im gein ha'meniyah gam kein ledorati. Once we say that the reason why we're not allowed to go to war against them is because they have a Yerusha, then we have to say that those mitzvot are lidorot. Therefore, the Ramban says, these mitzvot should be lidorot. We should count them as part of the 613. Fair?
Mm-hmm.
Make sense? Okay. Mm-hmm. Ramban continues, and he says, okay, I have another Agada. We saw one in Bava Kama that we had an issue with. Now we have an Agadata in the Midrash and Bereishit Rabbah. It's very interesting. Martin, I'm curious if you've ever heard this one. Midrash Tehillim u'betanchuma shoninota. It shows up in a few places. Amru b'sha'a she'shalach David et Yoav la'aram naharaim u'laram tova paga be'adomiyim. David sent Yoav, his head general, to Aram naharaim and Aram tova, and they ran into Adomiyim. U'bikesh le'zanvan, and he wanted to attack them. So they took out, I think it's documents that said, Sovet Harazeh, don't attack Har Seir. You're not allowed to attack Edom. Pagaba Moavim. Then Yoav ran into the Moavim. Ubikesh Lezanban, he wanted to attack them. But they produced documents that said the Psukim of you're not allowed to attack Moav. Shalach Yoav et ha'ma'ora. He sent something to David. Bota shal onag atzmo melech el amad vehavir propirin me'alav v'atara me'al rosho nitatef halach lo yitzah Sanhedrin. David ha'melech took this note, this whole story, and he took off his crown and he went in front of the Sanhedrin. He wanted to talk to them man to man, not as a king. Amalem rabotai lo bati v'kan l'lmod edo l'lamed. I came here not to learn, but to teach. I'd like to teach something to the Sanhedrin. Shalachti et Yoav la'aram naharayim u'laram tova, and he tells them the whole story. I sent Yoav, etc., etc., etc. And he says, "Velohem partu et ageder tchila." But I don't understand. They broke the fence first. It says, "Vayasof elav bnei Amon va'amalek." Amon attacked us along with Amalek. Pagab mo'aviim. And it says, and they said that we weren't allowed to attack them, but they partuah together tchilash. Nema vayishlach malachim al bilam ben bor. Moav attacked us. Batalachana arali ad kana gadazu. In other words, David says, why can we not attack Moav or Ammon or anybody else for that matter? They attacked us first. Okay, interesting. What do you make of this?
Well, I don't understand. I thought that the Rambam said that. Or you said that the Rambam is basing his issur against attacking these nations just until we go into the land. But now we're in the land.
That was so, the Rambam. We're in the Ramban now, though. We're in the Nachmanides. Oh, Nachmanides okay. Thinks that we should count them. He says, no. He says, they're their lands forever. They should always have them. And now he's quoting a Midrash that's causing problems. The Midrash says, well, the Midrash is weird because the Midrash says basically that the moment they attacked us, they broke the deal.
Yeah.
It makes it sound like there's no mitzvah anymore. No?
Yeah.
And the reason there's no mitzvah is because they attacked us.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No, because it wasn't a conditional mitzvah, was it?
Oh, okay.
It wasn't that it's their Yerushaf as long as they don't attack you. It was just, it's their Yerusha.
Okay, good. Okay, so we're going to drill down into that. But first, Ramban wants to make one point, to make his point. He says, number one, Hine ha-Sanhedrin v'adonenu David lo amru li-Yoav she'en ha-mitzvot ahen le-dorot el-baut betanot she'hem partzu ha-tageder t'chila. If the Rambam, if Maimonides was right, what should Yoav had said to the Moavim and the Ammonim and the Adomim that he ran into? When they said, you can't attack us because it says so in the Torah. If the Rambam, if Maimonides was right, what should he have said to them?
It doesn't apply anymore.
It doesn't apply anymore. Why?
Because we're in the land and it only applies.
Because it's not the Dorot. That's what they should have said. Right? So he says, this is a proof that it's the Dorot. But wait a second. But the Ramban says a question on myself. He says, if we assume that it's a mitzvah of Dorot, how do they lose the mitzvah just because they attacked us? Who cares that they attacked us? The point is that it's their land and we're not allowed to take their land. If Mexico attacks Israel, does that mean that we're allowed to go and take over Mexico? It shouldn't. And maybe that's the way the world works, but it shouldn't mean that. These are supposed to be absolute mitzvot. Va'afilu, he says, even im yesh behem atnai hazeh, al kol panim ruyot hen limanot. And by the way, he says, you know what? Even if it does have a tnai, nevertheless, it should still be counted. Sheinan mitzvot hasha'a el ledorot, ayu no'agot, ad shifatu hem together tchila. You could have a mitzvah that says, look, don't attack Moab ever, unless they attack you. That's a mitzvah. That could be the Dorot. But one way or another, he says, it's definitely a mitzvah, the Dorot. But anyways, he says, well, wait a second. Hanir elai b'tana hazot, ki aminiyah b'tara hayta l'dorot, shelo na'aroch imhem milchama lakachat mihem artsam, ki hi nitunah lahem yirusha l'olam. So what's the Ramban's answer? He has a good answer. How does he explain this Agarita?
It was done in Hebrew.
He says, Yoav wasn't planning on conquering the land of Moab or Ammon or Edom. He was just going to attack the people. That's not different than conquering. We are not, it's not that it's asur to attack, it's asur to conquer.
But
wait a second, but it's not totally true. It does say, al tatsaret Moav, that we're not allowed to attack Moav, right? So it's in response to that, he says, Aduneinu HaMelech David alav ha-shalom ho rebe limeit she'ena kavana batara ela le'asur lekikat ta'aretz mehem. We're not allowed to attack them. Sorry, we're not allowed to conquer the land. However, it says also Antit Garbam, that's saying we're not allowed to fight with them for no good reason. We're not allowed to fight with them stam. We're not allowed to start up with them. However, Imit garu banu, then mutar lanu lihnatzel mehem v'gam lihnakem mehem kiyaroi. If they start up with us, we're allowed to fight them. We're not allowed to conquer their land, but we are allowed to fight with them. So according to Ramban, there's basically three levels here. On one level, we're not allowed to conquer them at all. We're never allowed to conquer them. On a second level, we're not allowed to attack them for no reason. That's the second level. But on the third level, we are allowed to fight with them if we have a reason. If they start up with us, if it's revenge, those are legitimate reasons.
But if that happened and we conquered their land, we would have to give it back to them.
Yeah, but we didn't conquer their land and we're not going to. At least not from them.
Interesting. It's exactly the same Lashon as when Amalek attacked us.
That's right. That's right. Same Lashon. Okay. To end, Ramban just quotes this other Gemara in the Yerushalmi. It's just an interesting Gemara that he talks about how David HaMelech, so he reigned in different places, right? He was 7 years in Hebron, 33 years in Yerushalayim. And then it says, one second. Yeah. Then it points out that in Shmuel Bet, in one place it says 7 years in Hebron, and in the other place it says 7 years and 6 months in Hebron. There's a discrepancy. between Malachim Aleph and Shmuel Bet. In Malachim Aleph, it says that that David was king for 7 years, period, in Hebron, and 7.5 in Hebron in Malachim Aleph. So how do we reconcile those two? The answer is Shisha Chadashim Yashav Sham Yoav. Yoav took over for 6 months. Why? Because Hashem said, Al titgarbam, and itgaretabam. In other words, David, according to the Gemara and Yerushalmi, was punished for attacking Moab. So he says, Kozeh, Haheta Shalimit Besanhedrin Mitzad Shepartu Ageder Tchilan Kozeh Nena Shalem. He was punished for attacking Moab. So how do we explain that? Hakarom Nimnesha Asambam Nikama Yoter Midai. He attacked them too harshly. Very interesting. He says, because they killed all the males, they destroyed their ability to be Yoresh or Morish. He destroyed their ability to bequeath. Nachala goes through the males, generally speaking. Benot Slavchad aside. So by killing all the males, we actually affected their title to the land. Okay, that's an interesting thing. Now, the one last thing that I want to mention is what Barbara was talking about. At the end of the day, even though it's a mitzvah ledorot, according to the Ramban, it doesn't apply anymore. Why? Because Sancheiriv came and messed up all the nations, he conquered all the nations and he mixed them up and sent them all to different places, we have no idea who Moab is. Moab doesn't really exist anymore as a people. Neither does Amalek. Neither does almost anybody. And therefore, we are allowed to conquer their lands when Mashiach comes. So in other words, even if it's a mitzvah ledorot, it doesn't apply nowadays in the same way that, for example, you're not allowed to let a Moavi marry into us. That also doesn't apply because we don't know who the Moavim are. So just to recap, the Ramban disagrees with Rambam in principle and says that it is absolutely a mitzvah ledorot. The Rambam thinks it's not. The Ramban disagrees, and he proves it. But at the end of the day, there's no way to apply it nowadays. Fine. The last thing I wanted to do with you tonight is the Megillas Esther. The Megillas Esther is a commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot by someone else, by Rav Yitzchak. Here, I actually looked it up. By Rav Yitzchak Leon Ibn Sur. And he defends the Rambam, but he doesn't do a great job. He says, number one, he says actually something very strange. At the beginning, the mitzvah was given for forever. It was taken away, basically. Because Moab didn't act nicely with us, Hashem canceled the mitzvah. It was originally scheduled to be eternal, but once they treated us badly, it was canceled. Right?
How do we know?
Mikan shenir'eh lanu, shu'tar lanu li'lechem yibdam l'rashat tartzam, she'na mitzvah ledorot. This is a very strange idea. It says originally it was going to be a mitzvah ledorot. You're never going to be allowed to attack Moab. But then they messed with us, so now we are.
How does he know?
The Rambam said so.
Okay.
And because David attacked them. And he says...
Oh, wait, hold on. I thought that if they mess with us, we can attack them back, but that doesn't mean that we can take over their land.
That's what Ramban said. The Megillas Esther is defending the Rambam and says, no, the Rambam thinks, Hutra Lagamre, that once they attacked us, the mitzvah is over, it's gone. And it doesn't get counted.
Okay.
And then he says something strange. He says, and what about the Rambam who says, Afilo ha'kutubem zatnaim, yikom ha'kom tzarech leminotam? He says, hold on. No, I wanted to point out this. He says, look, it says, the Ramban says they're ledorot and that we're never going to conquer them. But even the Ramban agrees that when Mashiach comes, we're going to conquer them. So why does the Ramban think that they're eternal? In other words, he says, even the Ramban agrees that we're going to conquer Moab and Ammon and Edom. They're going to become part of greater Israel, right? So how could the Ramban say that they're the Dorot? I think it's strange just because the Ramban already answered that question. Why does he think that we're going to be able to conquer them?
Because they were unnecessarily cruel to us.
That also, but also because Sancheiriv, Bilbel HaTaumot, the mitzvah doesn't apply, not because the mitzvah doesn't exist, but because there's no way to apply it, because we don't know who Moab and Ammon and Edom are. That's why it doesn't apply in Yomat HaMashiach. Okay. This is what I wanted to do with you tonight. It's a little bit different than what we usually do, but I thought it was fun.
Can I ask something, Rav Danny?
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of something I heard. It's nothing to do with Pinchas or anything, about the argument about whether we're allowed to be proactive in taking over Israel.
Yes, yes. They're definitely very reminiscent of that argument.
Yes. Where does that come from? Where's that?
The Shlosha Shavuot, the three, vows that are mentioned at the end of the Gemara in Ksuvos, that we're not going to go up en masse Teretz Israel. We're not going to go to war against the other nations, and that they are not going to attack us too severely.
So the argument is that because of
there
the
are different ways around. There are different ways around that. I think Rav Moshe says the moment the Holocaust happens, mm-hmm. Or not really the Holocaust, but almost any anti-Semitic pogrom or whatever, they forfeited their right to those shvuot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar to this, yeah.
Yeah. Where are the shvuot? Sorry, where
it's a Gemara in Ksubis that has a drasha based on Shir Shirim. I don't remember the exact drasha.
Okay.
It's at the end of Ksubis. It's like the last two dafim.
Okay.
All right. Have a good night, everybody. We covered the Rambam Ramban and the mitzvah. Shkach.
Shkach. Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Good night. Bye.